Hello and welcome, I'm Pooja Sarkar and you're listening to the pre-budget special from Forbes India. Today I have with me Mr. Nirmal Jain. He's the founder and chairman of the IFL Group.
Thank you so much for doing this and welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, Pooja. Thanks for having me on the show.
Great. I'll just quickly get started on the fact that, you know, the budget is on its way. It's just a few days away. If you could tell our listeners, what do you think are your expectations from the budget and where do you see the fiscal deficit numbers of the government?
So I think budget will focus on growth for sure. And the government stance has been very clear, in the last so many years that they basically want to focus on growth. And at the same time, obviously, they have a twin objective, because the lower strata of society have been affected by COVID. COVID second wave has been brutal, and then we had a third wave as well. So, I think budget will do its best to make sure that the economy, economic growth revives and gathers momentum. That is primarily is important also to create jobs. And I think on that, I don't think, anybody will have any doubt. Now, coming to fiscal deficit, I think government last year had a huge one-off on revenue expenditure. The revenue expenditure, we should have been around 1.5% of GDP, but because the second wave was sudden, unexpected, and was really brutal, the revenue expenditure has gone up to about 2.3% or so, primarily because of higher subsidies on food, fertilizer, and everything. So that way, if government does not have to incur that expenditure again this year, then they got a huge, not huge, but I'll say at least significant room to play with the fiscal deficit and make sure that they have enough money available for the next year.
Okay. So when it comes to the disinvestment part of the whole story, the government had said that they were expecting to raise around 1.75 lakh crore through disinvestment program during the year. But if you look at the numbers, we haven't really reached around 10,000 crore or so. Obviously, LIC is expected sometime in a few months, in another month or so. But do you think only LIC can solve all the problems, or what will happen when it comes to disinvestment and the gap that number has?
So the government, I think, we'll fall short of disinvestment target this year for sure. But the good news is that a lot of groundwork and homework has been done. Now government is prepared. And therefore, this money maybe partly will become available this year and partly will become available next year. For the entire targeted amount, they've done groundwork, but there have been delays. And some of it, I would say, beyond control because of the COVID wave and as well as many other things that are happening. And now we know that state elections are also there. So a significant part of this disinvestment will happen the next fiscal year. And in a way, that's good because government will have a lot of money available to pump start the economy and make sure that the growth momentum accelerates. And that'll be good for the economic growth as well as jobs, as I just spoke about.
True. Coming to the part, when we look at yesterday night, Fed came and said that, they're expecting to be humble but nimble, and there would be rate hikes that would happen in the coming future. How would that pan? Because markets have been battered quite badly across globally. What is your view on how Indian markets will react to the budget? In the long term, how would it pan out?
So how Indian markets will react to budget will depend on the budget provisions. But I think, so market reacts to multiple factors. To my mind, budget, unless there's something completely unexpected, is not really, last few years we have seen that, is not a game, is not as important as it was, say, many years ago. Because more or less, there's a consistency in the policy making and we know what is expected from the budget. But as far as Fed rate hike is concerned, the writing on the wall is clear. Because in the US, inflation has been rising. And beyond a point, they can't really delay or deny the rate hike which will be required. A lot of liquidity has been pumped in. The liquidity also will get a little tightened. And the impact will happen in the emerging markets, equities, and all risky assets across the globe. Also, what had happened is that the easy money basically had led to some buildup of froth also. And this is a characteristic of the stock market, equity markets, as well as all commodity markets or any risk asset, that the pendulum swings from optimism to pessimism and while the rise is also very sharp, so is the correction. So I think we should be prepared for a corrective phase primarily because of Fed hike. You know, in the last maybe couple of years of COVID, we saw that when the COVID hit us for the first time, people were scared and the markets were spooked. But then they recovered with a vengeance. And that was, so there are a few factors that converged. One was that easy liquidity. Second, that many people, the whole new generation of investors in India as well as outside, came into stock markets and started betting on risky assets, including stocks, commodities, and also crypto. Now, the risky assets are called risky assets because, you know, they can fall also steeply and they can rise. And there's no free lunch in the world. You can't have a extraordinary rise in profitability or say returns on investment and say that there's no downside. So obviously now, you know, people are realizing, I mean, they're coming home to the fact that these risky assets can correct very steeply and can give huge losses. And sometimes, you know, on the downhill also, they gather momentum because many investors who have betted on these assets, they also play on margin. So there are margin calls and, you know, then the sentiment is affected. Other than these two factors that I just talked about, the new millennial as well as the liquidity, another thing was that what is happening. So the one phase of internet economy, the companies in the bubble was in early 2000. And now it's become much bigger. So when there are new age digital companies, some of them may become Google and Amazon also, we know. But for a few of such companies, there'll be many times as many companies that probably, you know, will disappear without a trace. So what I'm trying to say is that the digital economy is new. There's no playbook, is unprecedented in terms of how the whole thing will pan out. And therefore, there may be some of them, a very few of them, will be extraordinarily big winners. But that probably will discover only with the hindsight of time. But that greed basically lures many investors thinking that every investment that they betting on will become like that, or some of them will become like that. But most of them, as history testifies, will end up with losses because the portfolio that you're building up will not do as well. And that also basically, you know, because there are a lot of the valuations had gone to unreasonable levels, multiple of revenue or even pre-revenue stage. You know, we see that people are valuing these stocks at any valuation which are not justified. At the end of the day, regardless of new economy or old economy, the value of a stock is the DCF of all its future cash flows that shareholders will get. Now, somebody can say that the future cash flows will multiply many times, 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times, and then you discount and arrive at a value. But so that froth is also getting out of the market. All these factors are there. But as far as the Indian economy is concerned, I think our growth will be higher than what we are anticipating. 7.3% was earlier target, but in FY23, it might surprise on the positive side. And therefore, India as a long-term investment remains intact. But short-term, you know, there'll be a you know, pains in terms of corrections and the global factors that also we will live with.
If I may ask, the kind of valuation that we've seen for example, the new age economy stocks like a Paytm, Zomato, etc., everybody is down from their listing prices. Is it now that we can all, I mean, is there a way to look at it and say that, you know, right now, the actual price discovery is really happening because last year was all about stocks really running high?
See, there's still a lot of private equity money in the world, so we don't know how and at what stage they'll buy these stocks at what valuation. So I'm not an expert, or maybe I should say that I don't really understand how these stocks are valued. Because people just don't want to look at earnings, one. Two, they try to compare with one overvalued stock with another overvalued stock and say that, okay, this is relatively not as much overvalued. So these are all signs of mania and the times which are where speculative bubble goes beyond a limit. My personal advice to most investors whose risk appetite is limited is to avoid these stocks. If you have a really high risk appetite and you want to play in this, by all means. But even then, nobody has, you know, unlimited risk appetite. So obviously you allocate only a small part of your portfolio to this. There are so many factors that play on these kind of stocks. So it's very difficult to do a crystal ball gauging, say, and say who will be the winner. or what is the right valuation for these stocks. But yes, some of them will become big winners. But the only thing is that we really don't know which ones. At least I don't.
Okay. One thing I want to understand when it comes to inflation, as you've been saying that in the US it's at two-decade high. But if you look at India also, the numbers, I mean, the consumption numbers have been high for retail. Do you see that, are we also going to see some rate hikes in the future, in the coming months?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think we may also have a rate hike, but relative to the current rate, the hike as a percentage will be not so significant, primarily because our real interest rate is still not negative and they're high. So we never, India, you know, has never gone to, you know, as many other developed countries have, where the interest rates are near zero or, you know, even negative on certain, you know, sovereign or bonds of some developed countries. So there'll be upward pressure on the rates. But it may not be as dramatic as the impact will be in the US of the Fed rate hike.
Okay.
But what will happen is that when there is a more than local, when the US central bank increases the rate, it will have an impact on the all emerging markets, including India. You know, there are many large funds and large foreign investors who invest in India. When they shift the allocation to US treasury and bonds, even a little bit, it causes some funds to move out, and psychologically it creates a much bigger impact. Mm-hmm. One very strong thing for India is that the earnings growth is really robust this quarter. Maybe it'll be around 15% plus after a long time. So what will happen is that at the earliest opportunity, India will be probably the early ones to bounce back.
Okay. One thing I wanted to understand, businesses have been talking about how there's a cost pressure push that is happening in terms of raw material. Do you see CapEx cycle moving in the coming, during the year?
I think CapEx cycle has to move up. Mm-hmm. And cost pressure on the commodities, many of them are linked to international demand and supply equation. So we really, I don't think the commodity prices will move up so much because China is a big factor there. And at least whatever I know, I don't think that China will have a similar kind of emphasis on CapEx as India will have. Therefore, the global demand supply equation, because already, see, you should know one thing, that commodity prices have already risen significantly last 2 years. So from here, I don't see them flaring up further. But in India, I think the CapEx cycle should remain strong. And local commodities, you know, there'll be a good demand.
Okay.
But historically, there have been excess supply. So to that extent, things will get sorted out. And secondly, some of the commodity price increases also have been due to a supply chain bottlenecks, which I think will ease, and you know, that will also probably have a sobering impact on the prices.
Okay. And lastly, before I let you go, the question on lending, when it comes to NBFCs and banking, how do you see lending panning out for the year?
Good question. I think lending will grow because, as I said, keep stock market aside for a moment. As far as macroeconomic conditions are concerned, they're very good, very strong. And the budget probably will have much larger allocation for CapEx as well as the public sector spending. And therefore, the economic growth will be robust. And, you know, nominal growth is about 17%, you know, quite much higher than the estimates. So that will obviously drive the demand for credit. There has been a consolidation in industry because some of the NBFCs have scaled down, or maybe, you know, some of them have gone out of the business also. So on one hand, you'll see that the demand growth is robust. And on the other hand, you see on the supply side, some of the NBFCs have scaled down. Many of the PSU banks probably will not grow their balance sheet as much, primarily because they're not raising capital. So on the whole, I think for private sector banks as well as NBFCs, it'll be a good credit demand environment in FY23.
What is your last view on how the India growth story will pan out for the year? What are the sectors to watch out for?
India growth story will pan out very well. And I think we are very well placed. The COVID is behind us, and I'm strongly of the opinion that the worst is behind us as far as pandemic is concerned. India has shown resilience even in the various waves of pandemic. Government has done several reforms, including PLI, the lower tax rate for the new manufacturing units, India is also benefiting from China plus one policy. Foreign investors, when the dust settles, probably will look at India more favorably as compared to China. All these factors put together, I think India is very, very well placed to have very good growth in the next few years. Sectors to watch out, I think all the sectors should do well primarily, but still I would say that IT sector, because the digital transformation is driving growth for them, you should also look at capital goods and all the sectors which are related to construction, infra should also do well. And when there's an overall revival in the economy, then you'll see financials and in particular banks and the large established banks also will do very well. But this should be an all-round recovery, so we should see almost all the sectors should do well. And from investors' point of view, they should look at companies rather than sectors and build a portfolio which is diversified across various sectors.
Thank you so much for your time, sir. Take care. Goodbye.
Thank you.